as we continue to talk about what happened last week, we got to talk about the miracle. Jim Nance was right when he said this is a miracle. But I think the bigger miracle is nobody expected the Commanders to be this competitive. And I've got to give Dan Quinn credit for hiring his offensive coordinator, give him credit for what he's done. But let's talk about Jaden Daniels, who, oh, by the way, looks miles better than what the number one overall pick looks like in the Bears. The Bears quarterback.
Caleb.
Yes, I'm thinking Jaden Daniels. He looks miles better. And you know, the crazy thing is we rarely get a chance to see guys who get drafted 1-2 play each other, right? That was the case on Sunday, and it was just blatantly obvious. I felt Caleb played scared in that game. He didn't have control of the things we saw him have control over, Jason, in weeks prior. We can talk about the Hail Mary in a second, but the game itself, I just feel like Jaden Daniels is on that next level right now.
Oh, he's – I mean, for him to have not practiced much last week, this early in the season, and face a defense – that's been a top five NFL defense since basically a calendar year, right? Since they got Sweat at last year's trade deadline, that Bears defense went from good to great. And so he doesn't have the physical reps that he would normally get. Everybody's obsessed on every detail about his ribs. There's all of that swirling. Like, the whole city now is got Commanders fever, and it's all about Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
And it's all on his shoulders. And they come out, and they're the better team, and they move the ball better, but they're not getting touchdowns. And then, you know, the Bears finally take that lead. And for him to do what he did, and look, huge hat tip to Matt Eberflus and you know, the fraudulent way they coached. Not just the Hail Mary, but the two plays prior to it, those last three plays.
Setting him up.
I've had people around the league reach out to me, defensive coordinators, like, hey, can I come on your radio show and talk about what a fraud that was? Like, what the hell was that? I'm like, yeah, coach, come on down. But you got to take advantage of it. And you still got to have the composure, right, and the wherewithal to put your team in a position where you can fling it down there and see what happens. The one for 15 yards to Scary Terry is probably more egregious than anything else. You know, and then the three-man rush. Like, what were those three 350, you know, whatever, 300-pounders going to do against their five? You know what I mean? Like, three out of breath defensive linemen pretending to rush the quarterback. And you know, you got the guy yelling at the fans. I mean, that's just, it's malpractice. But Jaden Daniels was the better player, and Jaden Daniels kind of willed them to that win. And there is a pizzazz it factor about Jaden Daniels that's been there every week, even that first game against the Buccaneers where, you know, you could tell by halftime they weren't going to win. The way that kid battled through that game, some of the plays he made in that game, how efficient he was in the passing game in that game. It's incredibly impressive, and that's a huge win on so many levels, from a confidence factor, from a reestablishing some semblance of a home field advantage, which they really haven't had since they built that thing out in, you know, PG County. Yeah. Like, from a you just look at the tie-breaking ramifications of that potentially. And it's huge. Absolutely huge. The thing nobody's talking about is Washington's defense. Like, it ain't last year's defense. It's not. And it's been getting better week by week by week. Even a lot of things they did against that vaunted Ravens offense, I thought, were pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So listen, Washington's defense is not a sieve. Like, it's not what it used to be.
I agree. DQ can coach defense, man. Listen, we gave him crap, and when it fell apart in Atlanta as a head coach, and obviously 28-3 is on the resume, but he's always been a very good defensive-minded guy, whether it be Seattle where he got Super Bowls, in Dallas when he moved on and had them rolling. I mean, I'm with you. They're doing a really good job defensively. But, Jason, nobody is also talking about the fact that they broke the Bears off 468 rushing yards. Robinson? Eckler? Hell, Jaden Daniels ran for 52 yards. You know, so that's the other part of this. They can run the football, too. Listen, I think
the offensive line is more than decent, and they can absolutely road grade you. And they've got a four-headed monster in the run game. No, they're going to be a tough out. They're the best team in that division. And I would have said that even if they lost that game 15-12, you know, on a week where their quarterback didn't practice and he's nursing bruised ribs. Those guys knew what he played through there. And for him to be that effective and continue to extend plays with his legs, like, they're building up so much sort of fortitude and belief. Like, good on them. Good for those fans, man. They dealt with a lot of shit there.
Yeah, it's been a long time. And they're going to get a new stadium. They're going to get all the perks that come along with this, with new ownership. Everybody's going to buy in. And, you know, now they're going to get what they needed for a very long time because Daniel Snyder was a jerk.
No, the sleeping giant is awakened. The sleeping giant is awakened.
Yeah, exactly right. With that said, let's talk about a franchise that that is not awake and doesn't have any hope. And that's the New York Football Jets. J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets. I heard Aaron Rodgers say he has been in the darkness. And I said, Jason.
He is the darkness. You brought the darkness. There was a dark cloud that's hung over this franchise forever. And you doubled down on it. Like, he is the darkness. You are an energy vampire. You are a selfish prick. It's all about you. You showed your team what you thought of them. When you went to Egypt for minicamp. Right. Stop. You are the problem. You are not even a league average NFL quarterback. Your compete level sucks. Your effectiveness sucks. Your mentality sucks. Your body language sucks.
Body language is a big part of it. Let me ask you this, though, because I didn't think it was going to happen. If they were going to win any game this season, I was giving them this game against New England. And they go in there and they are flat and they lay an egg and they wet the bed and they pee down their leg and all the things that we talk about. And I'm like, if it could only get any worse for the Jets. So who do you blame now? That is my question. Who do you point the finger at
now? I blame Woody Johnson the most. He's the fool who endorsed all this and co-signed it. And bent over for a player who'd never done a damn thing for his franchise. And if you watch the film and talk to anybody who knows what they're doing in the league, he never was going to win anything for your franchise. But you made him the most important player. And you overempowered him. And then, you know, he took you for a ride. I mean, like, he's more prepared for his appearances on Pat McAfee than he is to play football. Like, that's what you're paying $50 million a year for. But, like, you didn't saw it coming. I did. I'm going to make a lot of money off your half-ass bullshit football team again this year. Plus money for the Jets to miss the playoffs. Vegas don't give it away very often, but when they do like that, you need to take it.
Well, you jumped on that early. There's no doubt.
They're a joke. When your coach is neutered and your GM's neutered and your owner's an idiot and you take this guy at the end of his career and treat him like he's won 3 Super Bowls for you, and he gets hurt 4 snaps into the season, and your answer to that is to kowtow to him even more. They were a better team with Stifler at quarterback through the first half of last year than this year. It's not even arguable. They were an elite rushing team. They were a .500 football team. They were a better defense. They were a better yards per play team. It was better with Stifler. Like, it starts with Woody. He's the most to blame. Aaron Rodgers is to blame, but like, now they're eroding defensively, which I told you was going to happen because you took your 2 best defensive minds. You sent one out of the building and you took the other one and made his job 100% defense to, I don't know, 40%. How much is the coach now really running the defense? I mean, not even half as much as he did before because he's not calling it anymore. He's not babysitting it. So they get worse as the games go on. If you have volume in the run game, you will expose them. They don't make second half adjustments. They're an even worse second half team since they fired the head coach and moved this guy over. So now they've got even more vulnerabilities. Like, it was never a good offensive line. Like, I don't know. How long till this guy waves the white flag? Like, how long till he checks out? I'll give him till Thanksgiving.
Yeah, not long. It's not going to be long now. One other thing about the Jets, and to your point about, you know, Olbrich, listen, I learned this a long time ago covering this league. When defensive guys get opportunities to take over teams, it rarely works because you cannot focus and call defensive plays Jason, and react to what the offense is doing and totally be focused in on that when you're trying to run all this other stuff. A lot of times guys get overwhelmed. It doesn't mean that Ulbrich's not a good coach, but he's not in his element. He's not doing what he needs to do.
And this is a total shit show. Like, this isn't Antonio Pierce taking over for Josh McDaniels.
Correct.
And you know what I mean? Because you want to go to the defensive thing. Last year, where everybody hated the coach and they weren't playing for the coach. And if you came in there and you did some fire and brimstone, and they know you played in the league and played at a high level and you can relate to them, you're going to get more effort out of them, right? The defense will get better because that was probably an underperforming defense. And maybe you shocked the world. That's not – this was – hey, go salvage a team that is built horribly but thinks it's going to the Super Bowl because the delusional quarterback's telling everybody they're going to the Super Bowl. Like, this is so much more toxic. There's so many more personalities to deal with. And Mark Davis might want you to have lunch with him at P.F. Chang's every once in a while. But you don't have to babysit him like you have to babysit Woody Johnson 24 hours a day. Like, it's unfair to Auburn. The whole thing was a scam. The whole thing was a scam. Like, it had no chance of working, him having to take this whole thing over. And the last 3 weeks, the Jets are 26th in rushing defense EPA, 27th in rushing defense success rate, and they've allowed 6 rushing touchdowns in the last 3 games. But you tell me how this has made them better.
It's in the huddle. Jets, they are not headed in the right direction, and I don't think they will be. It's just the fact of one of these teams this year that we've talked a lot about that was overhyped, overrated, and now we're seeing it come to fruition.